All right, we'd like to welcome you to the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, April 23rd. We're glad to have some visitors. We love that. And thank you to all the commissioners and staff being here. We would like to go ahead and call this to order and start with an invocation. Tracy, would you be willing to do that for us? Thank you.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for the opportunity to meet tonight under such favorable circumstances in this great city. We're grateful for the citizens that we serve and grateful for the opportunity to work them for the best of all in our community. I ask that thou would bless tonight, that we'll be wise, that we'll listen well, and that decisions that are made would be in harmony with the goals and vision of our citizens. We say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, and the Pledge of Allegiance, I will do that. If you would all please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'd like to open up the time for any unscheduled public appearances. If there is anything that someone would like to share with the Planning Commission at this time, please state your name clearly, your address, and you have 3 minutes. And we'd like to open that up to you now. And we'll close that because no one's jumping at the bit. So. All right, we've closed our public appearance. We've got our first consent item. It's the approval of the meeting minutes for January 23rd. There was some discussion about that last time, and we were told that we were going to go over those minutes and resolve that, and another one came up, actually. It states that Deborah Mon gave the invocation, and Deborah Mon was not in attendance. So we wanted to clear that one up.
On which set of minutes was that?
On January 23rd, that it said that the invocation was Deborah Mon, and she was not at that meeting. I don't know who did, but but she's the one that brought it up to me, so I'm fine with it. But I'm just letting you know.
Would it be okay if I found out who?
I believe it was Chris Howden.
Was it Chris?
It was Chris Howden.
Okay, there we go. We'll make that change if you want to go ahead and approve the rest of the minutes.
Okay. Okay, and Chris it was. Again, he's not here, so thus it is. All right. But we do need to still, are we approving the meetings with those changes? Is there anyone who would like to do that?
I make a motion to approve the minutes with the amendments that were just mentioned.
Okay. I'll second that.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. And then we have our...
We need to vote.
So we do need to... Oh, yes. We do need to vote. And can we start with Deborah?
Yes.
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 Thank you. All right. The next item we have on here is... Pardon? Oh. February's minutes, because we were gone for both months. So we do need to do February's minutes. We didn't have March minutes, but we do have February's minutes. So would anyone like to make a motion?
I so move that we approve.
Second that motion.
Can we vote on that, please?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Okay, we're gonna take some time and open up a public hearing about the LDS Church Pavilion.
Thank you. This is a conditional use permit. My sizing on the PowerPoint has not worked out, so the lettering has gone cut off. I apologize. This became a lot simpler as of 5 minutes ago because I talked with the representative of the applicant, so they cut out the drinking fountain, which was the only concern the staff had. just for education purposes, I'll walk you through a conditional use permit. We don't get too many of them, and they're kind of fun. I don't know if anyone thinks they're fun but me. This is a request. It's the church. You can see it highlighted there off of Old Bish Lane there. They're putting a pavilion on the northwest corner of it. It's already a developed lot. It's a landscaped area. Conditional uses are a type of use. So we have three types of uses: permitted, not permitted, and then conditionally permitted. What that means is that cities can put conditions on a use to mitigate detrimental impacts from that use. However, it's still a yes. You're still required to approve it. It's an administrative decision. So as long as they meet all city requirements, you have to approve it. You have just a little bit more flexibility in what those requirements are, but you still have to spell it out in your code. The city code has a list of kind of six overall factors and kind of more things about how you're going to impact traffic, how you're going to impact surrounding uses, are you going to cause any environmental concerns or safety concerns with utilities. When you approve a conditional use, you actually have to identify each potential detrimental impact and how your conditions relate to that to mitigate them. In this case, we had some discussion about a drinking fountain, how we're going to protect some culinary water systems. The drinking fountain's been removed, apparently, so staff actually doesn't have any recommended conditions on this conditional use permit. It's only required for this because under the R140 zone, it says churches and accessory structures for churches are conditional uses. I don't know why, it just is, so that's how we have to approve this. The Planning Commission is the recommending body on this. It will actually go to the City Council for final approval at their next meeting based on your recommendation. The only interesting thing, there is a setback, not issue, but this R140 setback standards are 30 feet from your front property line or in line with the main dwelling. This is in front of the church, but the church is not a dwelling. So as we looked at that, it seemed to make sense just to say 30 feet. So as long as the Planning Commission is comfortable with that, staff is, I think we can go ahead and move forward with this. So this is all our discussion about the drinking fountain and how we had to make all those records. None of it really applies at this moment. You do have to hold a public hearing on this. We also have a representative from the applicant if you'd like to invite him up to speak and address any questions you may have. But based on the information received from the applicant that no drinking fountain is to be installed, staff recommends that you hold a public hearing, accept the findings in the staff report as kind of modified here, and recommend approval with one stipulation, which is just that when they go to actually build it, they have to get a building permit and comply with building code. Any questions for me or for the applicant?
Thank you, Rob. Does council have any questions?
I just have one, and it's just about, I heard this is a 13-foot high. Is that correct?
It's like a bit
below
taller
the 25,
than that.
But, oh.
The max is 25. I think I it's...
I just think about neighbors, the roofs, because people always put things on the far end of their properties.
I'll pull up the plans and get you a...
I thought it was just like 13 or something. I thought it was pretty low, but maybe it was higher than that.
It wasn't that tall of a structure. It was well under the normal accessory...
25-foot.
Dwelling, or accessory structure height restriction.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's pretty true. Yeah, I don't have any problem.
Okay. Any other questions? Yeah.
13 feet, 3 inches is the proposed height.
That's cool. I'm good.
Yes. Okay. If nobody else has any questions for Rob, we'll go ahead and open up a public hearing for this and invite the representative to feel free to come up and speak and state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
My name's Paul Evans with EA Architecture, located at 11576 South State Street in Draper, Utah. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have, but I have no further information to add to the comments.
Yeah, it's pretty point blank with the removal of that drinking fountain. So, okay. Anyone else? All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. All right, we're going to go ahead and close the public hearing. And anyone like to make a motion or discussion?
Oh, discussion.
Any?
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
I move that the Planning Commission accept the findings and recommend approval of the conditional use permit subject to the one stipulation that was recommended by staff.
And that has been met. I second that. Let's go ahead and vote.
Yes.
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 All right, that has moved. Thank you. Let me get out of here. Thank you for attending. Okay, we're going to turn the time over to the city for the discussion. And are we combining on this one?
Yep. Well, we have some, you're not going to move, but we are kind of having an open more discussion with the council members who are here.
Excellent.
As you may know, we were starting our update of our general plan. A couple of the commissioners were on the selection committee. Thank you, Deborah, for your service. And we had some great applicants, and out of them, we have chosen Landmark, who we're very excited to work with moving forward. I will let them speak for themselves. I'm sure they're excited to meet you all, but we just wanted to have a short meeting in order to have them introduce themselves and how this project is going to be moving forward, and then get a little bit of feedback from you and from the council. This will be a kind of a large project, but it'll be very collaborative. Your job as Planning Commission is to make a recommendation on the plan. That's your primary duty. So it's an exciting time for you and for all of us as we work on the plan. So with that, I'd let Landmark come up and introduce themselves.
Good evening. Thanks for having us here tonight. We're really excited to be here. My name's Sam Taylor, the principal owner of Landmark Design. And we're ecstatic to be working on this project with you because we did your last general plan. So we're excited to be able to revisit that and update it to your current needs and situations. So we're just really thrilled. I'm joined tonight by Aubrey Larson from our office, who is going to be assisting me with this project in a big way. and then we have a couple of sub-consultants. We have Hales Engineering, so Ryan and Josh are both from that group, and I think they've done some work with your community in the past, and so they'll be working on the transportation element of the plan and updating the transportation master plan. And then we also have Fred Philpott, who wasn't able to make it tonight, from LRB Finance. And I believe they've worked with your city on a number of occasions in the past, right, Rob? So they'll be doing the economic development and housing analysis for the plan. So that's just a quick intro to our team. I don't know if there's opportunity to project anything. If I were to hook something up or... This is a USB thing. This is just a USB-C. She's got her. HDMI. We'll see what she's got. Oh, yeah, you bet. Okay. I hope so.
Do you have an adapter?
If you want to shoot it to me quickly, I'll throw it up.
Yeah. What's that?
If you want to email it to me, I can throw it up on the screen.
It's a link. Send the link to Rob. Maybe.
Where's my?
If you two want to coordinate. While they're doing that, just a little bit about us. You know, we've Landmark Design has been at this for over 35 years, so. I'm sorry. Is that okay? Sorry, I'm not used to using a microphone. A little bit more about us. Our firm has been in this business for over 35 years. We have a unique sort of broad range of different skill sets that we use in our practice. So we're landscape architects by training, but also we've been trained in city planning, and so we tackle issues from the broadest of scales at the at a general plan or even sometimes regional plan level, and we also look at very minute construction details in our office. So we've got a lot of really great skill set that we're bringing to this. We've got, you know, with our group here, they've also got a lot of experience in creating these sort of master plans for communities. So we've done a number of general plans, both here in Utah County, but also throughout the whole Wasatch Front. And so this is an exciting project for us. It's an important opportunity to reopen a general plan with a community. It's an opportunity for you to take stock in sort of what your community wants to be, what your vision is for the community. And as Rob was saying, ultimately the general plan is a product of the Planning Commission, right? So it's your recommendation to go on to the council for approval. So we want to make sure that as we go through our process on this project that we're capturing your vision, and as well as, you know, importantly, the vision of the whole community. And so there's a large public outreach component to this. So we will be using different layers of public outreach. We'll have an advisory committee that we'll be working with that hopefully a couple of you and a couple of the council members will be a part of to kind of have more detailed conversations around our progress and how we're meeting what we're hearing from the public generally. We'll be having a series of public meetings throughout the process, three public meetings. The first will be looking at just kind of general questions for the public, what they sort of see the needs are in the community. The second will be kind of presenting different alternatives that might emerge from what they share with us as to where we could go with the plan, different concepts. And then the third will be a draft plan open house, so they can all come and see what the plan is. We're also going to have an online component to supplement this. You know, in recent years, we've noticed, you know, attendance at in-person meetings is somewhat tapered. People are busy, they have their lives, so we are introducing an online component for people to submit feedback in this first stage of the process. So if they're not able to make that public meeting, they can submit their comments on it's called Social Pinpoint. It's a sort of crowdsource mapping tool that they can drop geographically pinned comments on a map, and they'll also be able to track the progress of the project on a project website.
You have a quick question about
yeah.
that? Is it something you'd have to have an app to access?
No.
Or, okay.
No, they'll just go to the website and it'll be there to function, and it's
okay.
It's quite mobile friendly too. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. And then, you know, the other component that we want to make sure we dial in on with our engagement, of course, is checking in with you. So at a couple points through this process, I think once again, midstream will come back and kind of report on our findings to date and where we're headed. And then as we get closer to adoption, we'll also kind of brief you on where the plan's at in its draft stage. So so that's kind of an overview of the public engagement. Were we able to get the website at all? No, that's fine. Don't worry about it. technical difficulties. We should have been more prepared. So I kind of zoomed in on the public engagement piece that's going to be interlaced through this. But the overall process of what we'll be doing, we'll begin first by taking a deep dive in looking at your community and existing conditions. So what is on the ground today in terms of land use, available land, where your demographics are headed, what projected trends are anticipated, what the traffic situation is, what your economic footprint is, and you know, sales tax revenue, loss, all that sort of thing with the market analysis.
Excuse me, can I ask a question about that real
yes.
quick, because I'll forget?
Yep.
Are these going to be new traffic studies and new eyes on the ground? Or
gonna,
is this going to be based
invite,
on past ones?
I'm going to invite Ryan to, or Josh to come forward for that one.
Great question. So my name is Josh Gibbons with Hales Engineering again. So our plan with the transportation component is to collect current traffic data. We already have quite a bit of data from various sources, from the city, from our own studies, from from UDOT as well that we could pull from. We'll use that existing data, and we'll use it to basically calibrate the current MAG model, and that's the Mountain Land Association of Governments model, which is the regional travel demand model that's used locally. So we will use new data to calibrate that model.
And that's what I was asking, because when we've been trying to make some decisions, we have this huge project that's affected on that road at, mm-hmm. With all the building we're doing off of North County Boulevard,
yeah,
680 units, and that right next to the high school, which definitely impacts our situation. So yeah. We're hoping for new data.
Yeah, it'll be the latest model that they have with fresh counts as well.
Okay, so, thank you.
Yeah.
Once we, you know, review all that existing documentation, we'll run some analyses and kind of look for where the opportunities and constraints are within the community. And we'll present those findings in a sort of, you know, light report. And we'll use that to then inform our plan alternatives, what sort of direction we're headed with the plan. We're going to couple that at the same time with what we're hearing from the public to develop some guiding principles. You know, what are the overarching themes that we want this plan to accomplish for your community? We're not coming to the table with that set in stone yet. That's something that needs to be teased out as we, you know, hear from the public. But we'll inform that with our research and analysis as well. From there, once we have those some various alternatives of where things could go, we'll take those back to the public, as I had mentioned. And then from there, we'll select sort of a preferred direction to develop the draft plan. With that draft plan, we'll put it out to the public in that open house I talked about earlier. And from the public feedback we receive, we'll make some final adjustments to the plan, and then we'll bring it to you for through the adoption process. So all that's scheduled to take place over the pretty much the duration of the year. So so I think we'll probably be looking at adoption probably late this year / early first of next year. So that's a quick whirlwind of what we're going to be doing. As far as you know, us coming here tonight, we wanted to, you know, first introduce ourselves, but also we'd be very keen to hear from you if there are things that you have on your mind regarding this. You know, what do you want this plan to accomplish for your community? What do you see as some of the challenges or opportunities that we should be thinking about closely? Any other thoughts you might have about, you know, how to effectively engage with your community, things that you have observed work well that we might consider, you know, and just any other general thoughts that you've had approaching this project. So
I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Forgive me if I don't word it right. We'll try a couple times till I
we'll get it.
But you guys have done this multiple times, as you just said.
Yep.
My experience is when someone comes to the Planning Commission about a change, we usually get 10 or 20 really loud, noisy people.
Yeah.
That's directly affected by something. How, in your project management or your practices that you use, are you going to be able to focus on getting the concern of the entire community, not just those vocal few? How are you going to reach out to people who don't normally respond or talk to things? You get the direction I'm headed.
Yeah.
How do we get that input and not just listen to the squeaky wheel?
Yeah, no, for sure. And that was something that was brought up when we interviewed with the selection committee as well. I think, you know, we're trying to use multiple outreach methods to try and hit different target audiences. And one I didn't mention as well was we will have a series of focus interviews. So as we get through the early stages of the public involvement, if we feel like there's a segment of the community that we're not hearing from that we need to, or a certain stakeholder, we're going to have a direct outreach to them and interview them as well. So our hope is that by using the combination of the in-person meetings, the online outreach, these focus groups, and the guidance of leadership as part of the advisory committee, that we will begin to kind of see general themes emerge. And that's what we're looking for as we go through this process, is what are the general trends that we're seeing? What are the common
common voices, common comments that keep resurfacing again and again. We'll certainly do our best to try and acknowledge some of the louder voices to help them feel heard. But we also want to be sensitive that we're not derailing our focus on what is emerging generally, and what we also ourselves as experts and also the input of the advisory committee feel is the best appropriate professional way to move forward with the plan.
Sam, can I ask a follow up on that? I appreciate Trent asking the question, because one of the questions we ask is about integrity of surveys. Is that how do you make sure you have good integrity? Because as we've went through surveys, I've known of some that they ballot box stuff the survey, where they're going to take that survey multiple times. So I'd be interested to understand your thing. You also mentioned about you start to see trends. We just came through a unique situation in a survey we did throughout the city. We got 3,500 responses on alcohol. We saw everything online really geared and really giving us a strong indication one way. But when you got a paper survey, it showed a different trend. Now, we equated that, okay, these were probably a little older residents because they didn't do it online versus those that did online. But we've had a lot of questions about integrity of that survey. We didn't know who took it. We didn't understand how many times. Now, we try to have some integrity in that survey by giving unique numbers that, that we set to the household. I'd be interested on your survey. You could ask the same question multiple ways to make sure that we're getting the right feedback. How do you do your surveying?
Yeah, so we don't typically get in. I mean, it depends on the process and the project. For this project, we had not anticipated doing what we call a statistically valid survey, right? And that's where you contract with a survey company that will make sure they're hitting points around all the community. Generally, in a lot of our general plan process outreach, we try to ask more broad questions and not try to ask too targeted of a question that is going to, sort of pigeonhole us into a certain answer. So with that, we're trying to seek a broad variety of input and answers from that, and that's where the trends emerge. As we go through this, there might be some specific issues that we need to dive into a little deeper. And that's where we'll have a checkpoint, I think, with our advisory committee and say, how should we best address this? Is this something that we need to, dig a little deeper and we'll
figure out a way. And there'll be one, I think if I share this with everyone, there's going to be one area in our city that I guarantee that the economic development's going to hit.
Yep.
We're going to have everyone saying, okay, this is where you need to put density. It'll be a Longhorn Field. There's one meeting, our alcohol brings them from everywhere in the city. When we had our Longhorn meeting about the developer, Trent, you bring up, is it only those 17 in the backyard? No. They came from everywhere in the community because that's our entrance into Highland. It's what
right.
Everyone sees. And so one of the things I'm hoping out of the general plan is we are able to get a vision what to do there. And we can kind of give that. The developer knows that if he brings something, we're going to feel that we're going to get 250 people here. But we want to try to give a vision what the residents want to see there. And that 80 acres there, that's also what that property owner would like to understand. What could he bring? Because anything he brings in doesn't seem to move forward. We just get a lot of residents saying, no, just keep the cattle. Do we need it for economic development? Is that we're probably going to find somewhat commercial there. But we're going to find that we're going to have another. They don't want that commercial development. I mean,
sure.
That's going to be what we need to understand. And then the council and the planning commission will have to give some good input as they make that suggestion. That will be one of the areas that is going to be a hotbed. I already know that every target, you're going to say, hey, we've got car counts here. We've got we got a commercial corridor. But then you're going to have the residents over here. We need to understand, is this really what they want there? And I think the council knows that. That's been the biggest question. What do we do there?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this new LDS temple that got announced, got to be a little careful, but that was probably a site that was looked at. When we had EO Sickness or the new fitness place that's come over by Smith's, they looked there at that location. Mm-hmm. We've had sports centers. We've had, we've got to give that vision. So,
yeah.
And I think it's everything, but that also comes into your roads as we talk about that. I'm excited, to be honest, your team of Fred Philpott and of Hell's Engineering, I have confidence in your team. You have a good team. You put together, so I appreciate you putting that the team. Some of it, my question is timing about the studying, how we're going to be able to find out really what the residents are wanting. So
yeah,
I think, you know, and one thing that will help in really teasing out what residents want in a situation like that is, you know, we often use a lot of lingo and jargon in planning, right? And people don't necessarily know what that means in every instance, right? They hear the word density and it can go a million different ways, right? What people consider density. That's just an example, right? So we'll try and present, you know, we'll use visuals as much as we can to try and present different ideas of how things might look if it goes a certain direction, and try and help people wrap their heads around something visually rather than just saying it's going to be this or that.
I mean, so if you start hearing from our community and from, we want senior housing, will you start looking for areas where senior housing will function in our community and what type of senior housing?
I mean, yeah.
Because I've heard that from a number of residents. Just like we will hear from the restaurants. We hear everyone want restaurants. That's where our alcohol survey came in. Really, what pushed that was they wanted to have some restaurants, and the restaurants they wanted are saying, I'll come, but I need to have an alcohol license. And so I think that pushed some of the, you know, I'm just saying the residents are sensitive, they're educated.
Yeah.
We got to help understand, you know, I don't know if they want to have high-rise apartments, but they might be okay with some senior housing.
Exactly.
And so that's what we've got to figure out.
Yeah. And we want to put all the options out there and then whittle it down from there.
Can I say something really quick? I just think it's really important that we don't discount passionate residents, because a lot of times there's something to it. It's not always a squeaky wheel situation. And a lot of people come out and take their time to tell you how they feel. And I think it's important to be respectful of that, because a lot of the time nobody comes to these meetings.
Exactly.
So it's really nice to have people come.
And they're representative of a bigger group. No matter where you lie on the issue, they still represent a good portion of residents.
And on that note of a good survey, we have a different population. We've got some booming new young areas and we have some older areas, and it is the empty nester older areas that is not responding to the online things as much, mm-hmm. of course. Mm-hmm. And so having things in paper version as well is important in Highland to get an accurate input here. That is definitely a characteristic here.
Yeah. Well, and we'll work with your staff to make sure that we're leveraging what tools you have to kind of get out to those people. You know, I'm sure this is not the first time you've made an outreach to those people via paper, right? So we'll try and utilize those avenues as well.
Do you work government programs to help us develop
something? Which government programs in specific are you? I think we definitely make recommendations for the city to the city of certain programs that they could work with and partner with. That's generally an outcome, especially from our housing chapter and the economic chapter at times. And I wish Fred was here to speak more to that one a little bit. We don't necessarily make that outreach as part of this process, but we'll make recommendations for some future partnerships that could be beneficial to the city. So,
Sam, what areas of the plan do you anticipate need the most TLC? I know just reading through it, a lot of it is pretty good, you know, as it is, and won't need to be touched too much. But I know there's going to be other areas that are really going to need a deep dive. What do you see?
I think that you're a community that's nearly built out, right? And so a lot of maybe the vision for land use has sort of been accomplished at this point, right? There's not that much developable land left, right? And so you're starting to get into that phase as an evolving community where, you know, we're starting to look less at like greenfield development and more at infill and even maybe a little redevelopment. And so that's where it's going to take a different level of thought as to how to, you know, create the best conditions for those types of development to occur. And so I think, you know, ultimately starting with a good land use vision is going to be really important. And it'll be subtle, you know, it may not look like anything drastic, honestly, but it will have an impact.
I think the other piece that's rising to the surface is we've had some prior conversations is the role that active transportation plays in your community, right? Whether it be from a commuter but or just from a recreation standpoint, people want to be on trails. They want to get out of their cars. This is an emerging thing everywhere, right? And so, how do we, you've got some really great resources here, and how do we link them together and help people get to them, right? In a way that promotes that healthy lifestyle. So
will this be part of an active transportation study? I mean, we just got through with one about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
But will you be more city focused on active transportation and putting a trails plan together, or what's the?
You want to talk a bit about it, or?
Yeah, I think there's already been a great plan put together for active transportation, but we want to weave this general plan with that and see if there's any gaps to fill to any any additional trail connections or pedestrian improvements we want to look at as part of this. So we'll add to it.
Okay. And I'm going to speak for Chris, who's not here, who's very concerned that the trail system is actually eyes on the ground because of incline terrain that makes it not feasible. Some of the things we've had on the plan before, it's not really one cost effective feasible geographically. So we're wondering if that's something, are you guys going to go off of what you see on a map that has been put out there before, or are you guys going to investigate the locations?
We'll do both, certainly, and that's the benefit of having a local team. We're, Hales is based out of Lehigh. We're very close, and we plan to be in the city, doing the counts, but also looking around at potential improvements as we make recommendations. So,
we have the LDS Temple that's been announced, a location here in Lehigh, which is going to bring a lot of traffic that way. But right between that, there's a trail corridor for lots of mountain biking. That is a big deal for a lot of the schools and the communities around here that have teams. They use all that. So we just want to keep these things that are unique to our area and available and a point of interest.
Yeah, makes sense.
Other questions?
One question here.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ron.
Was it Pleasant Grove that you guys did the general plan?
Yes.
Just an observation that we would not want what they have in terms of two problems that I saw with the plan that you ended up with. One is you have maps on density, and then you have another map on density, and the one talks about the zone that it's in, the other talks about very low density, high density. Just get the terminology the same and the colors the same. Low density is one is yellow in one, and it's orange in another, and yellow is high density in the other. So getting used to the maps and being able to correlate between the maps, I think, will be critical. The second is they need to be legible. In some of those, the resolution is so poor, there was nothing I could do on my computer to read it.
Hmm.
So I'd hope that you can address those kinds of issues when we have a published document that's on our website, that people will be able to go to it and read those maps and have the maps be consistent in the terminology. I was really shocked that the one you're talking about zones and the others you're talking, the zone is still the density of that zone, R18, I think it was, and the other talks about just the density itself.
Yeah, I can speak to that one a little bit. So I think that the two maps evolved out of a sort of a last minute request for the second map. There's a difference obviously between a land use map and a zoning map, and so I think they get a bit confused sometimes through the process. And
is there a way to make the colors consistent?
Yes, and they
So yellow is low density and orange is high density, et cetera.
Yeah, so I'd have to look at the finer points of the color differences you're talking about, but we'll ensure that there's some consistency.
It was a good
there.
Plan, by the way.
Thank you.
Appreciate the overall plan.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what copy you were looking at. If it was on their, was it on their website?
It's on their current website.
Okay, and it may have been downgraded to be more web friendly or something along the process.
Yeah,
we always deliver a high quality resolution.
Rob, let's not do that.
And one thing that's come out of this too that we talked about in our with the selection committee is, you know, maybe we have a more online friendly approach to the plan, right? A sort of executive summary, if you will, right, yeah, of the plan. And I think you were there for that conversation.
Yes.
And I think that would be a great way to make the maps more accessible to people, where they can actually zoom in on a map and move around, as opposed to a static image that's constrained to an 8.5 by 11.
That's wonderful. Print. The only other thing I have is just to echo the comments that have been made about the importance of having online and a hand version. I mean, however we call it, but the, yep, being able to have meetings, neighborhood meetings, in person, in writing versus online, because we did learn a lot from that survey.
Certainly.
And we learned that there are two demographics and they are really quite opposite in their perspective, and we need both perspectives.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question about, like, I know this is a smaller issue, park strips, things like that, but I'm just wondering if we can, I'm into the details, and I know a lot of times when I'm going around town, especially on 6000, they just did a new development, and I know we're trying to be conservative with water, but this development just has rocks in that park strip, and it just could have been so much more. And I see other, yeah, cities where they have native grasses with mulch, and it looks beautiful and very aesthetic.
Yeah.
And also, like, to have the fences or the stone, to have them match and kind of be consistent, mm-hmm, on the main corridors. I think those types of things will go a long way for the aesthetics of the city.
Yeah.
So that might, are you going to be proposing any ordinance changes, or are you going to look at what our current ordinances and zones, you know, and say this, we're going to meet that in the general plan, or are you going to be proposing new ideas?
I think we'll look at what emerges from the visioning process as to what we need to look at. We hadn't anticipated, like, doing a full comb through of the whole city code, right? But if there are certain trends that emerge where we need to look at the ordinance and make some recommendations for changes to meet a certain vision that the city's wanting, then we can absolutely do that. So in this case example, you know, if that's a direction the city wants to go to, maybe, you know, rework the landscape ordinance, you know, we can look at where the weak points are in that and make some recommendations of how it might be updated. So, short of doing the actual update, you know.
I like that you guys have an emphasis on landscape architecture. That's why I also bring that up, because I think you could do, yeah, some good things.
Yeah.
Sorry. When you think about when you're doing this general plan, and I know it's just for our city, but do you also take a broader perspective in mind on state planning and the issues that are plaguing our state, the 35,000 housing shortage, first-time home buyers, issues, transportation, water, and those demographics? Is that worked into our general plan?
Yes.
Of us as a city being part of the solution to some of the issues that face our state as well?
Absolutely. So we will be looking at the greater region through our analysis and trying to understand trends at the county level and the larger metro level. So we're definitely, a huge part of this is meeting state mandates. So
perfect.
That's like just like the first box we have to check in a general plan process, right? So that we're meeting state statute requirements. So the housing plan, the water use element, we'll definitely be looking at how Highland can play a part in that conversation.
Yeah. Just not going to those mandates, but essentially also going towards, you know, the numbers that are coming out of what are the problems that are facing our state within the next 20, 30, 50 years from now, especially in housing and, you know, first-time home buyer housing and transportation as well. And I think, you know, us as a city, we need to take that into account of what are we going to do in order to help solve those problems as well. Because, you know, every city needs to do their part and be a good neighbor as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's probably good. How do you work with the political body where you might have some saying, hey, I want to try to do something with low density and want somewhat high? How do you work through the political body when you're doing that?
You mean the
like if you might have some, let's go do townhomes here. Mm-hmm. You might have another section of the city council or planning commission that says, no, we don't want townhomes there. How, are you only going to be presenting what comes back from surveys? Or, and I understand the voting and any zone change has come through the bodies, but
yeah, ultimately, like, you know, the decision to, you know, adopt the plan as presented is the decision of the legislative body. So, you know, we'll present our best recommendation, but, you know, ultimately there is this opportunity where, you know, it is left to kind of leadership to decide how they want to approach it. It's your plan at the end of the day. And you will be using it, hopefully you will be using it as a guide for all your policy making and decision making.
Well, we don't have the option. Once we adopt the general plan, that is our plan, and we cannot vary from it.
It's a living document.
It is
it's a living document. It can be amended, right?
But we can amend it.
Yep.
But we're still this is the direction that
you're giving.
We and consensus, public and leaders, by consensus agree on.
Yep.
And once that's it, we've got to have a reason to vary from it. We just can't vary from it because a little aspect out there wants to change it.
Absolutely.
It's an important document that we need to understand the power and significance of what it is, so that when we put the effort to put it, make it right, that it is right by the time we get there.
As a political body, you brought up about the 680, I think it was 680, some of the highest density areas we have is town center and over by the high school.
Yep.
And everyone goes, well, how did you get that zone approved over by the high school? Well, guess what? It was in the general plan. It said that mixed use should be in the general plan there at that area. So as they came in, we're going, they signaled in the general plan in 2008. So as it came about in 17 and 18, we're going, we enacted the general plan. This is how important this is, because this is the vision that we're giving to the city. And really, if the city council also in 2 years after the general plan, you're going, well, then we did the general plan law wrong if we also start changing all the zoning, because we should have that vision coming out now. You know, as Kim mentions, we have to be sensitive about where our kids going to live, where our seniors going to live. Yep. Do we have some lots that, to be very open, we've got a couple of owners that are coming in that have 2-acre lots, but they don't have the frontage. How do we now have locked in a 2-acre parcel, looks gorgeous, but how do we unlock some of that? You know, we've got to be looking and saying, our community is this way. We're not similar to a lot of others. We're gonna have some areas we might be able to look at. That's why the Longhorn is so important. And going, that's gonna have to be really talked about. What do we want there? Is it commercial? Is it gonna be senior? Is it gonna be, what is the recommendation from the community? And I've told the property owner, I said, you're gonna get, this is the place you get it, where we can give our fingerprint without having the 250 people here screaming at us. We can look at it logically. We can say, this is what we believe the community wants. That's why that feedback's important. Or as we go down 9600 North, we've got another 80-acre parcel. We got down there at 6000 West. I mean, you know, we've got some bigger parcels. We need to know what the community wants to finish it out.
Yeah.
I was going to add a comment just in terms of the process. They'll present a draft preliminary plan. I think that's when you'll have a large scoping and, you know, gathering information. That plan at that point, that's where the council and planning commission are going to have to come down and make those hard choices of,
exactly,
we like this or we don't like this. Sure, we need it to change the other direction.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's pretty much where I was going, Rob, is to say, you know, we're going to do our best to present the trade-offs to you all, right? Present the facts, and ultimately, if there's a conflict that needs to be resolved, you know, that's when we'll have that talk, right? But so there might be some uncomfortable discussions, but hopefully, you know, we can all agree on something at the end of the day. So,
and I think one of the things that we need to keep abreast of is what the state is requiring constantly, especially in the housing department. We need to know
what's happening there. You bring that. I know the planning commission, you wanted to start working on ADUs. The reason we wanted to slow it down is that's part of our plan that we are meeting the affordable housing. So if we try to jump out, we're going, well, hold it, that was one of the things we're doing to try to help meet that, you know, and it's like if we start bringing in some other things, that's part of our plan to meet some of those requirements. And if we jump too far ahead, we're going, okay, we just lost. We got to now bring something else out of the bag to be able to meet that. That does that make sense? It wasn't the idea; it was bad.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Timing was off because we're going, we're trying to meet that part of our affordable housing plan, and we didn't want to use that carrot at that time.
At this point in time in the city and how it's approaching build out and stuff, is it appropriate to address that issue of redevelopment, or is that something that you see as probably something that's more relevant in 10 years from now, the next update?
We'll kind of see where some of the economic analysis goes with that. Through that process, we'll start to identify what's maybe prime per se, right? There may not be a lot of it yet, mm-hmm. right? That might be down the road further. There may be other areas that emerge in sort of the housing conversation as well. We're kind of balancing these opposing things of housing and economic development and all this. And ultimately, the recommendations that the plan comes forward with will be what's most feasible within the next decade, right? Maybe a little bit further, right? But ultimately, hopefully 10, 15 years from now, we're updating again and looking at what the next leg, right? We just got to make sure that we're at least addressing what's before us in the process.
That's pretty much the mindset that you have approaching every section of the plan is, okay, 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the amount of time that we're looking at, that we're addressing, knowing that we're coming back to this in 10 or 15 years. Are there areas of the general plan that generally you have a longer term
yes.
focus on?
Yeah.
And what
parks and recreation are one of those, right? Like that's got a lot longer lived sort of time frame as to how that might play out. Right. Just the realities of that are we need to build as many parks as we can today, but realistically it's going to take us 20 years to achieve whatever the vision is, right? So there are longer reaching elements to that. I should step back and say we're not just looking at 10 years ahead, right? We do want to look longer afield, but ultimately a lot of those recommendations are going to focus in on what can we achieve.
So Sam, here's a good experience. 2008 is our last general plan.
Yep.
They earmarked and went and bought the property for Mountain Ridge Park from the general plan. It's now taken, here we are in 2024 actually enacting and putting that park in. And so it's, like you said, it's that envisioning. It does take that 15-year look out there. So I think that's a good question, Wes.
Yep.
I'd like to see this be, unless the world dramatically changes, I'd like this to be the last general plan, and we stick to it till we're full. that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
I got another question. I feel like we have something that's missing from the current plan is kind of this community character of Highland. What role does the arts play? Do sports and recreation play? What's the character of the city? And 16, 17 years ago during this process for the existing plan, the city was so different. It was so much more new. And I might be a little biased, and we might have a couple of slightly biased council members, but I feel like the heartbeat of the city is our library. I mean, they interface with more residents than anyone else, any other organization. I think it'd be cool to figure out a way to incorporate the library, whether that's the board, Donna, staff, because they have a real finger on the pulse of who Highland is. And I know that, I would hope that the library plays a big role in the city moving forward and as the city expands and matures. But I think that's a real opportunity that we didn't have 16 years ago with the existing plan, is to bring in kind of the heart of the city and involve the library and certain elements of planning out the community aspects of the plan.
That's exactly what we want to tease out in the early parts of our engagement with the community, right? every community does have a flavor, a character, right? And, there are a lot of things that we're similar on, just by nature of living within our region. But there are definitely some distinct differences that each community has, and we want to learn what that is early in the process. So some great recommendation to look to that some as a source.
Thank you. Some feedback that I had gotten from residents, and I was actually talking to one this week, was our trails, because those are heavily used throughout the year. And then in regards to the arts and things, we have this old Highland City building that's now a community center / senior center that really could probably use some updating and things. I don't know what funding we have allocated to that, but that would require more parking. But I think it has the potential to be really heavily used and end up being another one of our big community centers if it was updated and available.
I know we're talking about the general plan, but part of our general plan is also maintenance building. The community center is getting new carpet, new paint. We're actually putting our public works maintenance
parking.
We're putting the public or parks building over there, and that adds about 17 more parking space. I mean, so that is going to be something coming up. But
in
your general plan, like when you talk about the library or your community center, do you look at some of the space the city owns and going to give any recommendations? Hey, that'd be a great place for a community center. Is that part of your study at all?
We'll look at it at a high level. I mean, ultimately, you know, certain directions are, you know, require a further in-depth study, ultimately, a feasibility study, right? If the city's considering a certain kind of facility, like the common one we see is a rec center, right?
Good luck.
And, you know, that requires a big effort, right? So it ultimately becomes its own study. But we'll look at your facilities at a high level. We'll kind of make some general recommendations as to what, you know, our assessment is. We'll work with city staff to kind of understand some of the issues that maybe some of those have as well. But, you know, ultimately, I don't think we'll get super in-depth on that. So, but.
A definite character of Highland is keep the taxes down.
it would be good to get a little bit of direction on this area that the city owns just right here, you know, or suggestions or, you know, whatever someone else, you know, like Landmark sees. Yeah.
Wes, I think there was a study the library did about expansion, about it. Could they add on here? Should they go over there? I mean, there has been other studies done on what to be looking at for some other things. You know, and I was just FYI, as we look at REC, our new Mountain Ridge Park, we did show a possible stage that could be put in there. I've seen some other renderings that makes it as it grows. But you know, if they want to have some outdoor, you know, a lot of communities have a Sunday, you know, concert in the park. There's some areas now for that. So that comes back to your arts a little bit. But we need something senior-wise. We need something senior. Okay.
I want to echo what Wes was talking about. My biggest wake-up coming to the city council was the library. I had no concept of... If you would have asked me, I would have said, libraries, 10 years, 20 years, they'll be gone. They'll be what's left. I mean, it is amazing the things that they're doing and the pulse that they have on the city of Highland. And I could not agree more in terms of how do we pull them into this process so those voices could be heard. And ultimately, I do hope we end up with an extension add-on to the library or maybe a separate building, a nice new building. But the library is a big part of the voice of this community, and it's one that's already organized. It's there. We just have to tap into it.
That's great. Donna has a couple of feasibility studies in her pocket. I think she has them at all times on her person as far as expanding and what to do here and right there. So,
okay.
Donna's the library director.
Okay. We definitely want to connect with her. So.
Any other questions? Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I do have a question. Sorry.
No. You're
it good. Just it
keep
yeah.
Going. Yeah.
So I am very very interested in just active transport in general, and was I used to live in Sugar House before we moved here about 14 years ago, and was involved in the district that I lived in there and some of their active transport plans, and you know, worked with Erin Mendenhall before she was mayor, and I see a lot of opportunity, and the city has made a really awesome commitment to active transport here. And I guess my question then is, just as far as like bona fides, like when addressing that issue, do you have a lot of experience in, you know, really robust out of the box active transport plans and accommodations for cities, you know, that vary, you know, between the needs of a city that, or do you, you know, do you have someone that you bring in that kind of, oh yeah, that's in their wheelhouse. They are apprised of, you know, what other cities around the nation are doing. I subscribe to a couple of city planning journals that always seems to take up half of these journals every quarter. It's just advances in active transportation and, sure, and what our city's doing to promote it and to build it into their infrastructure. So I guess my question is just how do you guys approach that topic specifically?
Yeah. I mean, it's already been mentioned you have a fairly recent active transportation plan, right? So we'll want to respect what some of that groundwork has been laid there, but we also want to augment and build off of that, right? So, you know, if we're seeing things, I think through, and chime in if I'm getting off topic, but, you know, I think if we're seeing specific opportunities for certain things that could be implemented, we'll make note of that. Mm-hmm. I think generally in the general plan, you know, we're looking at things from a pretty high level, mm-hmm, right? So we might look at, you know, typical cross sections of what some of these trail alignments might be, or maybe a little less so as far as the, you know, a specific intersection, how it interfaces or something like, mm-hmm, that. But we want to try and sort of develop a hierarchy and identify sort of priorities that the city might consider. But I'm going to let Josh, he has more to say, chime in on that.
Yeah, just add one more thing. I think the focus we usually take is to make sure we address the full kind of spectrum of people that use trails and bike lanes. You get the commuters, you get the people that are doing it for recreation. So that would be our focus, is looking at all the options for as far as bike lanes or trails, as far as the widths of those, to make sure it accommodates all the commuters that we expect and see on the road, but also families that want to get out and recreate together. And so that's all I would add, is that we look at all the options, and it's been a hot topic lately at all the conferences we go to as far as the tools that are being used nationwide and locally as well. So we'll look at all of that.
That's really great. Yeah.
Sorry, I tried not to stand up.
Oh, gotcha.
Couldn't help it. I ride your trails all the time. I ride the Murdoch Canal Trail. I ride the mountain bike trails up in the hills. Love it. Absolutely love riding. Invite any of you that want to go ride. Glad to ride with you anytime. I do have some recommendations already that I've been thinking of as I ride the trails, and certainly we'll work those into the plan. There's a planning conference coming up on May 8th, 9th, and 10th down in Cedar City. And in that planning conference, they actually have a couple of presentations that will be on active transportation. And planning commissioners are welcome to go down. They actually have a planning circuit for citizen planners. And I would recommend you go down if you have an opportunity. It would be really fun to have you down there. I'm going to head down, and we'll be down there as well. I don't know if Kim's going to go, but it's a great conference. Just a good place to go and learn more about trails and trail making and trying to create and promote more active transportation.
Thanks, Ryan. And Josh?
Okay. Does anyone else have any more questions? Okay, we'd like to thank you very much for your presentation and for the input and listening to us and our many ideas.
This is good. And,
it'll
and,
start.
And, you know, it's a pleasure meeting you all, and we look forward to, you know, further conversation together and building this together. So
thank you.
Yeah. Thank you all.
Okay. Some of our staff communication items. We have a future meeting. Future meetings are April 30th, City Council, with a budget workshop at 7. And did you want any planning commission there? What?
A lot of budget meetings. The big one, if you wanted to come, is May 8th, is kind of the open house on the budget and kind of other things going on in the city. We'll be here at City Hall beginning at 5.
Okay. Thank you.
It's budget season.
Okay.
I don't know if the 8th is so much a budget open house. I think it's just an open house. I think it's the city open house.
I might have put budget on there because I had budget on my mind. I think it's more just the city open house.
Okay. So May 7th is City Council at 7. May 8th is the open house at 5. Do you know how long that will go?
5 to 8.
Okay. And May 21st, City Council at 7. And May 28th, Planning Commission at 7. Thank you. And do we have anything else? Okay. All right. Thank you for attending. Thank you for your input. And thank you, council members, for being here with us. We appreciate that. And we love having the interaction and understanding what you guys are hearing as well. So we appreciate that. We'd like to make a motion to close the meeting.
I was going
to
make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll second.
Can we vote?
Yes.
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 Thank you. That motion has passed. We appreciate your help. Thanks for coming.